Sometimes practical lessons can be helpful. And the things that I want to share with you this morning are based on some of the things that Sandy and I did over the years right, and some of the things that we did wrong. So with that, let's begin our lesson. And I want to share with you 10 things that we ought to say to our children from the Scriptures. We do, and let me stress, we do have the right to tell you what to do. That's hard, I think, for some of us to understand. And it's certainly hard for our children as they grow older to understand. But mom and dad have a right to tell you what to do. Philippians 1, verses 8 and 9. Philemon 1, 8 and 9. And if you look at that passage in Philemon, you think about the relationship that Paul had with this gentleman that he's writing the letter to. And he says, though I have confidence in Christ to order you to do what is proper, as a parent, we have that right to order our children to do what is right. But as our children get older, we want to, I think, do as Paul suggested here, that for love's sake, I'd rather appeal to you, since I am such a person as Paul the aged and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus. We do have the right to tell our children what to do, and under certain circumstances, even to order them to do certain things. But as they grow older, and we reflect on these things, if we can do it with love and to appeal to them, we'll generally get greater responses. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, we find a command given to our children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, so that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. Not only do we have the right to tell, to encourage our children, but they're told to obey their mother and their father as well. And in Colossians chapter 3, in verse 20, we read the following. Children, obey your parents in all things. Why? Because it's well-pleasing to the Lord. The Lord wants our children to listen to us and to obey us as we teach them those things that are coming from our Heavenly Father. Right from the very beginning, from day one, it needs to be established who is the parent and who is the child. So often, children can pitch a fit in a public place and get their parents to give in to them. We need from the beginning to understand that they're the children and we are the parents, and we have that right to tell them, to encourage them in the things that they should be doing. Secondly, let us have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Philippians 1 and verse 20. What happens when our children do those things that are right? It brings great joy to us as their parents. 3 John 1 and 4 tells us, I have no greater joy than this. And can you tell me of a greater joy than this, than to hear my children walking in the truth? There's no greater joy that a parent can have than to hear that their children are walking in the truth. And Proverbs 23, 24, and 25 tells us, the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who sires a wild son will be glad in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let mom, who gave birth to you, rejoice as well. There's no greater joy that a parent can have than to know that their child is walking in the truth. Three, we can tell them we've got confidence in their obedience, and in some cases, even confidence of better things concerning them, but it all revolves around their salvation. But we do, as parents, daily have concerns. Galatians 4:19 and 20 says, my children, with whom I am again in labor until Christ is formed in you. It's their faith that we're striving for, not mom and dad's faith. They may be doing it because they're in your house, but we want to build them to the point that it's their faith that's being expressed, not mom and dad's faith. And he goes on to say, I'm perplexed. I have doubts about you. And there are times when, as mom and dads, we're going to have doubts about our children, and we're going to be perplexed. And we want them to form their own faith within their own lives. Fourth, a decision has to be made at times, with a rod or in love and a spirit of gentleness. Well, I would suggest to you, in both cases, it needs to be in love and with a spirit of gentleness. When they're young, the rod may be more effective. But as they grow older, the rod is not going to be nearly as effective as it was early on. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. Paul says, I want to be bold with you so that I may have the confidence with which I propose to be courageous against some. I need to be bold in convincing my children the gospel of Jesus Christ and explaining to them why the Lord died for my sins, for their mama's sins, and for their sins. And this is not always easy when they're young. But as they get older, they can begin to comprehend this more. And number five, how many times have you said this? I'm doing this for your own good. And how many times has your son or daughter said, yeah, big deal, I'm doing it for my own good? Well, we are doing it for their own good because we're trying to bring them to an understanding, to a realization of the truth that's found in Scripture. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 19. All this time you have been thinking that we are defending ourselves to you. Actually, it is the sight of God that we have been speaking in Christ for one purpose and one purpose only, for your upbuilding. My beloved children. Why are we doing it? To build our children up in the love and the fear of the Lord. Number six. This is as they get older and they're beginning to go away, maybe to college, to another city for a job. We want to tell them, always, son, daughter, do the right thing even when mom and dad are not around. Do the right thing. And the reason we want you to do the right thing, Philippians 2 and verse 12 says, "So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling." When they're under mom and dad's sheltering wings, it's so easy to do the right thing. But when they go off on their own, and those temptations from their roommate or someone at work, that's when that faith that we hope we've instilled in them begins to show itself, and they'll do the right thing even when mom and dad are not there. And you can also remind them of what Proverbs 15:3 says. You can't hide from God. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. You may hide from mom and dad, and they may never know, but the Lord sees everything, everywhere, under all circumstances. So once again, we want to tell our children to always do the right thing, even when we're not around. Number 7 says, your heart is not right in the sight of God. We need to have the gumption, the desire to tell our children, even our older children, when their heart is not right in the sight of God. Acts 8, 20 and 22. Remember that when Simon the sorcerer asked for something and he said he'd pay for it? And Peter said to him, "May your silver perish with you because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have no part or portion in this matter, for your heart is not right with God. Therefore, repent of this wickedness of yours and pray that the Lord, if possible, the intention of your heart be forgiven you." I've got 3 40-year-old children, Drew, Casey, and Ben. And I tell you, if they wander from the truth, their mother and I will be on the first plane to try to encourage them to return. They're never, never too old to be brought back. Remember the story of the lost sheep, the one of the 99. My children will never be too old. Neither will yours. Number 8, do not neglect the gift that is in you. You know what? I don't care who you are, who your children are. They all have talents. They all have gifts. They have things that they can do. And those things ought to be encouraged by mom and dad. We ought to encourage our children to want to take part in the worship service, to teach them to lead prayers, to wait on the Lord's table, to give short lessons, to encourage the elderly, to think about the sick. Whatever their talent is, we need to remind them not to neglect the gift that is in them. Let's help them grow those gifts. Let's help them become mature as they develop their own faith. 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11 says, "As each one has received a special gift," and I truly believe that every single child that's ever been born, that's ever grown up in the church, that's ever had a mom and dad to help them, has a special gift. And that is a job for mom and dad to find out what that gift is and to encourage and help that child develop and grow with those gifts. It goes on to say, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. That's why we want to develop those gifts in our children, those talents in our children, because they can then serve one another, but they're doing it as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And then we can remind them, whoever speaks, you want to speak the utterance of God, to speak God's word in those things that we do with our gifts, with our talents. Whoever serves, however we serve as one of God's children, we need to do it as one who is serving by the strength, not that we developed, but which God supplies. Let's help our children develop the gifts, the talents, the abilities that they have as they grow in our homes, as moms and dads, as we work with our children to transfer the faith that we have from God's Word to them so that it becomes their faith and their love and not just ours. And so that all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. That's the utmost, the outcome of all of this is so that in all things that we do with our talents, that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Number 9. Tell them. Continue those things which you have learned. Don't just put them on a shelf and forget about them when you go off and leave mom and dad. But tell them to continue in the things that you have learned. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Train up the child in the way he should go, and he will not depart. I remember when the twins were born in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, our pediatrician said two things. One, I hope the Lord knows what he's doing, giving you twins. And second, if there's a scripture that I don't believe, this is one. This is the one. And I wish I'd been smart enough at the time to say to her, this is a principle. And if we do train up our children to love the Lord, the chances that they're going to wander away is far less than if we do not train up our children to love the Lord. It's a general principle, and yes, there are exceptions, as there are with many of the principles that we find in Scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 6, Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. The things from God's Word we're to teach diligently to our children. When we sit down, when we walk by the way, and when we lie down, and when we get up. You know what? Raising children is a 24/7 job. From the day they're with you to those awful nights when they keep you up, to the day that they leave the house. It's 24/7, but there's no greater joy than to know that you have taught them, and now you're reminding them to continue in those things which they have been taught, because you talk to them at every opportunity about the Lord. When they would ask you a question, if you can refer back to Scripture to answer it, that's the best way to go. Teach them at every opportunity that you have those things that are found in God's Word. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17, we read, "You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them." This is to Timothy. His mama and his grandmama taught him. He learned these things from them, and he became convinced of them. And that's the goal that we have, is to teach them so that they become convinced of them. "Knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Isn't that the bottom line? Those things which we can teach, and we need to begin from the crib onward, to enable them to have the wisdom that will lead them to salvation through Christ Jesus. And then he goes on to say that all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching and for reproof and correction and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Mom and Dad, that's our job, to do just like Timothy's mama and his grandmama did, to teach them those things which will bring them to salvation. And number 10, and this is the toughest one, you're on your own. The cord has been severed. You're out in the world. First Thessalonians 4, verses 11 and 12 tells us to make it your ambition, my child, my son, my daughter, to live a quiet life and attend to your own business and work with your hands, just as we commanded you, so that you will behave properly towards outsiders and not be in any need. If they would just remember that simple message and build their whole life on Scripture, they're going to have that kind of a life. A kind of life that will keep them out of trouble, make them productive in the Lord's church, and make them productive as citizens in this world that we live in. And I guess the best advice that we can give to our sons and daughters as they walk out of the house is found in Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 through 6. If you're going to get married, it's for life, son. It's for life, daughter. Find a mate that will help you get to heaven as you help her or him get to heaven. God hates divorce. And he said from the beginning, God made them male and female, and said, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate." What better advice can we give our children? Because if they have that type of marital relationship where both are striving to help each other get to heaven, they're going to begin to tell their children the same things that we told them, and the cycle will continue. And for good measure, let's just add one more. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 19 and 20. And I thank Paul for reading that as we begin our lesson. I want to close with this passage. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? For you are our glory and our joy. Mom and dads, I can speak from experience. There is no greater joy in this world than to know that your children are faithful Christians. Did we do everything right? Certainly not. Sandy did a lot more right than I did in raising her children. But we can do it if we want to. Those are simple, practical suggestions. Think about them as you think about things over the course of your children's lives. The lesson really hasn't been one to inspire someone to come to Christ. It's been more to help us think about how we can raise our children so that they will come to and remain faithful to our Lord and Savior. But at the end of every lesson, we want to encourage anyone who is not a Christian, who understands the path that must be followed, and that's willing to realize that only through Christ can they have salvation, and they're willing to confess that Jesus is the Christ, to turn from their sins, and to be baptized for the remission of their sins in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And as importantly, I think, to begin on that hard journey of being a Christian. We would encourage you, or if you happen to be a Christian who has fallen asunder, much as Simon the Sorcerer did, we would encourage you, as Dennis now leads us in the invitation hymn,